Good morning, Central Church. Everyone, everywhere, I'm Pastor Dale, and it's so good to be with you on this Sunday morning. I'm glad that I can greet you and glad that we can be together for online worship and radio worship again this morning. Also want to say, if this is your first time worshiping with us, thanks for tuning in. We're so glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll continue to come back. You are welcomed here, and when we begin to regather, we'll hope that you'll join us as well. Hey, we always invite those who are watching to let us know that you're online with us. So share your name. Maybe there are others with you. Let us know who's watching. That way we can kind of track our attendance numbers for worship. As a way of update, I want to let you know that we are working hard on a plan for regathering here in the sanctuary, and that date is set for August 23rd, so mark your calendar for that. We do assume that probably a number of you would continue to worship online or via radio, and so we're working hard to better up our online worship experience and how you connect with that. But look for a mailing coming out soon with a detailed plan for what that will look like and how you'll be able to be involved in worship. I also want to let you know to look in your mail soon for a letter from our missions team. You know, each year our missions team have a number of special offerings that support their many mission projects. This year they were not able to have that June Mission Sunday and the offering that goes with it. But of course they have many projects they've pledged to, they've pledged support to with our blessing on our behalf. And so they continue to need your financial support for that. And so when you get that mailing, I hope that you'll give generously to our mission team's work. That money goes to support things like missionaries in other countries, programs, projects in developing lands, as well as right here locally, our own mission of our outreach program. And the projects that we support out in the local community. So please give generously when you get that that envelope and that letter, and there'll be more information about that as well. I also want to mention that our guest preacher on August 16th is going to be Amy Brown, who heads up the NOAA Project out of Detroit. NOAA is a program of Central United Methodist Church there, and helps those who are homeless and those who are in need in that Detroit area. And so we can look forward to a strong message by Amy that day. Hey, I want to invite you now to lean into worship. Alec Andreka is going to call us into our time, and let's join our hearts and praise God together.
Good morning, Central, on this 26th of July. Please listen as I read the call to worship. Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet God provides for the basic sustenance of life. May our hearts be open to trust you, God. Look at the birds in the air. They don't seem to plan or plot their route, and yet God writes the instinct for migration in their hearts. May our eyes be open to see you, God. Look at the birds in the air. They don't seem to rule over their own, and yet God weaves them in communities to nurture and protect. May our hands be open to serve you, God. So, welcome to worship. I think we're ready.
Thank you. Good morning, friends. Miss Cindy here. And you might be wondering, who is Miss Cindy? But maybe some of you remember me as Captain Lightning Bolt from VBS a couple years back, or maybe even Maui Mama. But most of you remember me as Miss Cindy, Silly Miss Cindy from the Young Discipleship class that meets on Wednesday nights when we used to get together, called Heroes in Action. And heroes were heroes that would learn how to love one another, because that's what God wants us to do. And when we can love one another, then we can follow what Jesus wants us to do, is stay in unity so that we can face our problems together. And just because of that, Pastor Chris wanted me to talk to you about a special scripture that he thought might be hopeful for you. Just because we can't see each other, and maybe we just don't know what's going on in your lives right now. But you know what? We're all being stretched a little bit, both adults and young people, and even kids. We're being asked to do things that just aren't normal. And so we really need to learn how to have hope and learn how to have faith and learn how to follow and learn from our lessons. So our lessons start with looking at the Word. And you know, I've talked to you about, and we've learned about the Bible and how it can talk to our hearts and help our heads settle down so that we can trust and not be anxious. But you know, we have the New Testament and the Old Testament. Here's a scripture from the Old Testament that Pastor Chris wanted especially for me to read to you. And that's how much he loves you. So it's from Jeremiah 29. And remember, Jeremiah was a prophet, and he needed to give an uplifting little talk to some people that were not so happy at the time. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future." That's Jeremiah 29:11. And you know what? As I read this, I know that I've talked to you about your own passion of your heart and your spirit and your soul that was made just for you, knit together in your mother's womb, that's who you are. And it's up to God to help you figure that out. But you know what? You need to hang on to God. And how you hang on to God is through Jesus. And Jesus said, all you need to do is believe. So just believe in the light, and he's going to show you that way on that curvy road. And you will get to that place where you will figure out what God's plans are for you. So with that said, remember that I'm praying for you every day, and that we will see each other soon. Okay, we'll see them.
So now let us move into a time of prayer. So if you'd like to bow your head, you can. If you don't want to, you know, let's just pray. Dear God, we come before you today as the body of Christ in a world that seems to be going through a time of transition. Right now we see people suffering from sickness of the pandemic. We see just the different clashes that are occurring because of calls for social and racial equality. And we just pray that in this craziness around the world and possibly even our own lives, that you can just give us peace in those situations, that you can help us still see the bright spots in the world, and that we don't close our eyes, we don't close our hearts, we don't stop being courageous and willing to give a hand to somebody else in need. God, I pray that you can use us to spread your love, especially in a time that people can get so overwhelmed so easily with what's going on around the world, that you help us stay true and centered in you, and that you use us to help meet the needs of the world, and for those that we can't meet, that I already know you have a hand in them. Just please help give people continued peace. Please help lead them, even if they don't have their hearts open to you yet. God, I praise you for the things, great things that we have seen, the kindness that we've seen from people, the recognition that, yeah, people are suffering around the world and some things need to change. So God, I just pray for anything that might be going on in people's lives that they need help with. And I praise you for the people that we have seen that around the world that have stepped up and been that bright spot to try and give people, if even for a brief moment, a time of worry-free life. So I praise you and pray for all these things. And let's conclude with how Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So today, Pastor Chris will be preaching on the theme of being free from worry. So please listen to this timeless advice from Jesus on the subject of worry. And I'll be reading from the Common English Version. I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store grain in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than birds? Can worry make you live longer? Why worry about clothes? Look at how the wildflowers grow. They don't work hard to make their clothes. But I tell you that Solomon, with all his wealth, wasn't as well clothed as one of them. God gives such beauty to everything that grows in the fields. Even though it is here today and thrown into a fire tomorrow, he will surely do even more for you. Why do you have such little faith? Don't worry and ask yourselves, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. Your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these. But more than anything else, put God's work first and do what he wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Greetings, everyone. Pastor Chris here. We're continuing our series about what is the shape of a good life. And I'm going to hone in today about a great competitor to that known as worrying. Hey, do we have any worriers out there? I bet so. I tell you, worry visited me the other night in my dreams. In this dream that I'm remembering, I was all tied up in a knot, worrying about our youngest daughter, wondering if she was okay. It was one of those dreams where you never can quite get the answer. You're kind of pursuing something. I wondered if she was okay. And I really had no good reason to worry, for in real life, this daughter is flourishing. She's finding her path. She's in graduate school, being trained to be a school counselor. This is a young woman who has the world by the tail. Can you tell I'm proud? Yeah. And yet, my subconscious went into hyper gear worry that night. Actually, it was about 4 in the morning, prompting me to get so worked up that I couldn't even go back to sleep. Why is that? You know, can you relate to such dreams? At first, I kind of marked it up to the spicy pizza that I'd had for dinner that night. But now I'm thinking it's more about the malaise of undefined worry and fretfulness that seems to be bubbling over these days. My mother was a great worrier, so I guess I come by it honestly. Worry or anxiety is the lie in our heads telling us that we're being vigilant when we fret and worry, that we care enough to worry over a matter. What a crazy idea, but there's where a lot of us are. You know, and it's not so bad if the worry stirs up in us a restlessness that actually motivates us to get up and do something to improve things. That's not a bad thing. But worry can leave us stuck. For most of us, the problem is worry takes us out of the present moment. Worries get in the way of our living in this moment that God has prepared for us and laid us out into. worries and fears and anxieties, I think all take away my fully appreciating what is right in front of me. Can you relate? And here comes Jesus with his impossible advice that day. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry. You got to be kidding, Jesus. Most days feels like worry strung one after another, like lights in some morbid Christmas tree. Worries at work, you know, will I lose hours or lose my job? Worries at home, is my child going to be able to return to school in the fall? You get the idea. The economy, the research being done on a vaccine, our friends in Haiti having a hard time of it lately. Worries attend to us like mosquitoes in our backyard in a summer evening chasing us indoors. I don't think it's just me. I think we live in an incredibly anxious culture these days. The evening news taps into our worry in order to attract viewers. Even the commercials get us to worry about something, but then comes the promise of that product supposedly helping us relieve us of that worry. And then you think about all the homes that sport home security systems with signs in the front yard more than ever before. And then at the airport, remember when you used to go to the airport? You approach the terminal, and outside you see the big sign with letters scrolling across of it. If you spot any suspected activity, call 1-800 blah blah blah. Someone reminded me of those repetitive voice recordings that you hear inside the airport terminal. The threat level, as determined by the Office of Homeland Security, is orange today. My friend says, I don't even know what the orange is, but I'm betting it's not very good. And there it is. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, there are reminders of just how much is out there to worry about if you choose to. Yeah, it's a bumper crop of fear this season, and not simply because of a virus. For in this season, we've witnessed the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery, and this provokes a needling fear and a trauma even for many that I, as a white man, cannot fully comprehend. Fear is common. You know, it always has been. It's not a new thing. Why, the word appears more than 500 times in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? And we sure know how to get ourselves worked up with worry, or as my mother used to say, a foot ahead of a fit, without much effort these days. Jesus knew this, of course. No doubt this is part of why he so beautifully invited people to think of life's hardships in a new way. As he urged his disciples back then and us here today to pick up our heads and look around. You see those birds? You see those lilies over there? It's why he points us to the vastness of God's gifts and pushes us to remember that God takes care of so many systems around this beautiful world. Why would God not care profoundly for us as well? Poetic words like these in our gospel lesson point us to this understanding that we have to work at letting come in, because it's not the understanding our culture would tell us, but that God makes this point in the midst of our lives, not just in lily pads and birds of the air. Somehow, sometimes, God does seem to use the terrible things that do happen in this world to give us a chance to rethink what is really worth worrying about and what isn't worth worrying about. Here's something. What if nothing is actually worth worrying about the way many of us do. Not even the worst tragedies and struggles that are ours. For we will be offered grace when the time comes. That's a promise we get from our God. No, it won't happen by ignoring it. We got to work at it. But even this certainty, born to me by years of experience, and you too, that God will give me what I need, is actually more than enough assurance if I sit and think about it. It's another way of picking up my head and looking around, looking at those lilies. For when I pay attention to what I have, in fact, I have experienced it my whole life long, so many, many times. Either something did not turn out as bad as I worried it would, or something happened in the moment and there was some great learning that I had, even in the struggle. I want for me and for you, especially in this season of our culture, to trade in worry for the hope we have in a God of great mercy. I'm remembering two old souls from the church I used to serve in Muskegon. These two old friends who are no longer in this world have gone on to the church triumphant. But I'm remembering Cal and Lee Nash. In fact, I have mentioned them before in a sermon because hopefully, like you, I know a few saints who are no longer in this world. But I still manage to talk to them every once in a while because they have some wisdom to remind me of. Anyway, Cal and Lee's house burnt to the ground right about the time when I started serving as their pastor, turning to ash all that they had possessed. Now, they could have chosen to be bitter and negative and fearful from that day on, but somehow they chose to be liberated and at peace with the knowledge that God would always be with them. They settled into a much smaller house that they moved into, furnished it kind of sparsely, and impressed me more often than I can tell you by their bottomless joy and generosity with so many causes. It seemed that not only did their furniture and heirlooms get burned away that day, but so did their capacity to worry anymore. They learned not to sweat the small stuff. And they taught me so much as a young pastor. God rest their souls. Jesus' worry-free advice about trading in anxiety in exchange for hope, it comes in the middle of this long parade of advice. Right there in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Look it up. We know it as the Sermon on the Mount. It's a pretty famous sermon. Maybe you've heard of it. And it is such a gold mine of advice and wisdom, this Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew, that you would have enough work to do all your life if you only looked at those three chapters and nothing else in the Bible. There's that much there. Go look at it. And groups like the Amish pretty much base their entire life of following God based on those three chapters of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, with all of its focus on trusting God and forgiving people and loving your enemies and living simply. And when Jesus spoke these words that day, they were shouted across a hilltop where a crowd was seated listening to him, a crowd whose world was just as chaotic as the one you and I are living in today, and with just as much to worry about. Oh, sure, there was no coronavirus looming around at the time, back then, but there was plenty of disease. Life expectancy was less than 50 years, plus the Romans could kill you at the drop of a hat. So into that worrisome crowd, Jesus proclaimed the gospel's good news about a God who announces new life and the freedom we're given to love God and our neighbor and even our enemies with a love that this world cannot give. Because God's unmerited favor, it's what we call grace, is so much greater than the power of worry, thanks be to God. You ever notice how in anxious times, it's good for us to look back at some of the ancestors of the faith and see what they can say to us? That's the power of history, I guess you could say as well. Craig Barnes, who teaches at Princeton Seminary, has done some great work looking back and has found there's been discovered some amazing readings and liturgies that came from the early church as far back as the second century. And at first, if you pick up and read some of these readings, at first you might think it sounds kind of like a funeral service, but you would be so wrong. You see, the people who were about to join the church way back then, you think Jesus has only been gone a couple hundred years, the church is trying to figure out its way in a very persecuted setting in Rome. But those who were about to join the church would cast off their old clothes in a pile on the floor. And then they would slowly walk down into the cool waters of the baptismal pool there in the church. The waiting priest and family members there in the water would place them under the water, saying, "You have been buried with Christ in baptism." And then, as the convert would rise back up out of the water, the priest would shout victoriously, "You are now risen in new life with Christ." Very dramatic. And the new convert, coming out of the baptismal pool now, would be given new shining white clothes to put on as a symbol of putting on Christ. And the idea behind this burial form of baptism, if you would, was to let the members of the church go through dying so they wouldn't have to worry about dying anymore. Get it over with. Because once they were no longer anxious about Caesar's persecutions of the church, they were free to boldly proclaim the gospel and take risks for it. See, you can't scare dead people. Hear the good news, friends. We don't have to be anxious about our future, or the church's future for that matter. Fretting only distracts us from what is the real adventure in this life. Trying on the fearlessness of Jesus in a world that is so weary of worry. Thanks be to God.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Chris, for that encouraging, important reminder that God in Christ is our peace. And because of that, we don't need to worry, but we can work, not worry, but work for that hope-filled future that God in Christ is bringing into our world even now. I also want to say thank you this morning to all of you at Central Church who are a part of that work, how you give your time, your energy, your talents, your financial gifts, both to the work here at Central Church and how you share that out in the community as well. Because what we know is that the world around us so needs that loving witness of Jesus Christ, and how you embody that this week makes all the difference. Please know that. I want to send you off with this blessing and this challenge this morning. As we leave worship today, please go out into your week in confidence. And may your worry turn into prayer. May your prayer turn into trust of God. May your trusting God turn into acts of loving service. And may your service bring you the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace.